God, give us eyes to see the reversal that you're at work. You're working it through all things, that even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than even John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets. Lead us in this mystery. Open our hearts and minds to the reality of your presence among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is called, in the church calendar, Gaudete Sunday. It's Latin for rejoice. The focus is on joy, and the candle lit for today is pink. So it's a bit of a departure from the three other weeks of peace, of love, and of hope, joy. Is joy elusive in your life? If someone asked you, what is joy to you, would you perhaps need to take a little while and think about that? What is joy? And when's the last time you experienced it? Joy is often the fulfillment of that waiting. Sometimes it's a relief. Sometimes it's excitement. Sometimes it's a mixture of so many emotions. After a long period of waiting, I can say with joy, and I mean that with joy in my heart, that Abby and Angel are reunited. That Angel made her way from Mumbai, India, traveled 24 hours plus, and landed at YVR on Thursday. And to see Abby and Angel reunited was a joy, having been able to witness their marriage. There'll be a little meet and greet after the service in the coffee time, where if you haven't met Angel, you can meet her and see this couple together as they begin their life in Canada. Waiting. It's relating to joy, and the two are linked in my mind. I think the scriptures speak of it. Both the prophet Isaiah and the gospel according to Matthew speak of reversals, and I believe they're sort of a mirror, and I think they shed light on an option for us, a possibility for us, even a reality for us. The reversal in Isaiah is this barren land. It's called the wilderness, it's called the dry land, it's called the desert. If you've been to the Holy Land, it is desolate. It is desolate. When we're told that Jesus was driven into the wilderness, it's translated, a lonely place. It's an eremos. It's a lonely, desolate place. But here we see that the dry land and wilderness will be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus. You'd never find a crocus in the desert, ever. But here, something is happening, and the prophet is speaking it forth, that they'll be rejoicing and singing, even in the desert. What's the desert place in your life? There's got to be a desert place in your life, in your family, a place of desolation, perhaps in your history. It's a touchstone that you'd rather not have, but it's one of desolation. Difficulty. Perhaps you're carrying it right now in your heart. Could you be part of God's reversal in this day and age? May God do today what we see spoken of in the scriptures. It doesn't end there, this desert place, this wilderness, this dry and barren place. I know, it's good news. Even Darius knows about that. It says the glory of Lebanon will be added to it. The Golan Heights, to look at the heights across the Jordan River, are spectacular. They just rise out of this valley. And when the sun's on it, it's spectacular. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon will be in this place. Mount Carmel, Mount Sharon. Wherever there's altitude, there's moisture. And in the wilderness, in the Middle East, wherever there's moisture, there's growth. There's flowers, there's fruit, it's an amazing explosion of color. And so this super added element to the desert place is going to cause rejoicing. I think it's a key for what is joy. It's when things are reversed against all odds that we can touch joy. Where there was a contradiction, now there's new hope, new life. It's mirrored in the gospel when Jesus tells the disciples of John what they have witnessed. Go and tell John, who's as embodying this and anticipation and attentiveness to the coming of the Messiah. Go tell him what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. Contradictions are now reconciled. Things are reversed. The natural order is upset. Messiah has come. Where is that happening in your life? I hope you could say, you know, this is where it's happening. Or this is where I'm just anticipating that there's going to be a change. Or this is where I'm working to bring a reversal to make life better for someone else. I hope that's our attitude. That's what we're waiting for. Waiting for the fullness of that to happen. Seeing injustices righted. Seeing refugees that have been displaced from home established. Having friends who have moved from far away adjust and be supported. Where is that place for you? What's the reversal? That's where we're going to find joy. That's what I believe. This is one definition. I hesitate to say the word definition because I think joy is one of those, it's like trying to describe a rainbow. But joy is the extremely good feeling of knowing from within. Are you with me so far? Joy is that extremely good feeling of knowing from within. It's unlike the feeling of happiness. Now, we're not dissing happiness, but the point is that happiness is often evoked from without, and joy has a more inward experience. Joy triggers deep inner excitement mixed with awe and wonder. It's an attempt anyway. It's not mine, but it's another's, and I appreciate it for what it is. Joy. We're called to rejoice. It's a command. So we're called to embody this, to live into it, to interact with joy, that joy is part of our who we are as individuals, as families, and as a community. How about you? Do you experience joy? When's the last time you did? And can you go to a place of remembrance or recalling a person, a place, or even a thing that might cause that feeling to well up once again? I think we need to bring that into our experience, into our expectation. Joy. I think one of the keys is in the collect for the day. We're called to remove those things which hinder love of you. Just last week, we were welcoming some people through a doorway. It wasn't at our home, but it was at another place. And one of the women came in. She had a coffee, a phone, and her briefcase all under one arm. And I went to extend my hand to greet her, and she went, you know, she couldn't respond because she was so burdened. And I wonder if that's part of our experience. We can't really respond to God's work or experience the joy because we don't have the capacity for it. We're too loaded with other things. Even if it was extended to us, we'd have a hard time responding. Does that speak of your life? Are you trying to do too much? Do you just kind of collapse at the end of the day? And there's not a lot of bandwidth for considering joy. I do believe joy can apprehend us, though, and gift us in a way that is really beautiful. One of the ways that I have experienced that recently is my wife and three children, we went back to Minnesota. That's my home hometown in Minneapolis. And from there, we traveled in a convoy up to my brother Jim's house. He and his wife Janet live 3.5 hours to the north of Minneapolis. They live in sort of woods and fields. They built a log home nearly 40 years ago, and is a beautiful setting, absolutely gorgeous. And so 21 family members piled into their home for Thanksgiving. The preparations were made for us. Isn't it nice to go to a place where preparations have been made for you? I just love it. People were unloading food and bringing food in, and the turkeys were cooking on the barbecue, and there was just a buzz. It was like we stepped onto a moving train as we arrived after this three-hour journey. I hadn't been with my family for Thanksgiving for many years, and our kids hadn't been all together with their cousins for 12 years. And so it was a great homecoming. I've been looking forward for this time together for some time. And upon reflection, I was a bit surprised that the fact I experienced the joy, that upwelling, the morning after the Thanksgiving meal. It wasn't in the bustle of the preparation, although that was a blast. It was so great to see everyone. It wasn't really in the walk in the snow after supper, although that was beautiful. And it wasn't in the huge bonfire that is a yearly occurrence. It was incredible. But it wasn't that. It wasn't even the delicious dessert after the bonfire. It was the next morning. I woke up early. The sun was up and flooding into this beautiful log home. People were in bedrooms. People were flaked out on couches, on inflatable mattresses. There were 21 people kind of everywhere. So I made my way down the stairs. I deftly walked around bodies slumbering, and I made my way over to the corner by the picture window because that's where the coffee pot was burbling. And my oldest brother, Jim, was making coffee. My third oldest brother, John, was sitting in the corner, and I sat in the corner strategically because I knew that I couldn't move once I sat down. And so the Danish would come my way. The courses of breakfast would come my way, and all I had to do was pass it on and say thank you. And I got this great chat with my brother John. I hadn't really had a chance to talk to him with all the hubbub. And just the slumber in the morning as people woke up, that's where the joy sort of came up. It was the crackling of the fire in the wood stove, breakfast being prepared. And I think as I've thought about this, that it was the anticipation of being with my loved ones for another day. Anticipation was a big part of the joy. And my heart sort of swelled at the possibilities that the day held. Is that true for you? Anticipating someone? Anticipating a good thing? Marunji anticipating her dad returning home? I think it's partly that anticipation of something good, something beautiful, something better. Something that's going to be healed or reconciled, hoping, and enlarging our heart as joy fills it. I wonder if that's it. For me, I think it was anticipation. This morning, I came in to church, came into my office, opened my email, as I often do, and there was an email from a woman who's taken the Alpha course here at St. Cuthbert. She and her husband have come along. Alpha course is basically, it's a 11-week Christian basics course. And she shared with me that she had been healed. And three of the videos are about healing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and healing. And she was keen on being healed. She came our Thursday morning services. She generally did not come to those, but she heard that we prayed for people for healing, and we anointed them with holy oil. She's come every week since she found that out, and this email was, "Something's happening." That's in the subject line. She said she's normally awakened in the night because as she moves, there's a shooting pain. It's just part of her night. But she said, "Something's happening because last night I slept through the night." And when I moved my leg this morning, there was no pain. And I believe God's healing. I thought, isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful news to start my day with. Is that true for you? Is there a place of reconciliation in your life, of healing in your life, of hope, of joy? Well, if not, we're given counsel around that as well. We're called to wait, to persevere, like the farmer who's planted and now waits. Being patient, this macrothumia, this big patience, it's God's grace gift to us. It's also our commitment. You must be patient, the scripture says. So therefore, strengthen your hearts. Don't just sit around. You got to work out. There's something to do here. To strengthen our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Read scripture. Read the Psalms. That's a great way to get back into scripture if you haven't been in scripture for some time. Take some time of quiet and ease into prayer. But do something. Strengthen your hearts, we're called. Don't just expect the same thing to bring different results. If you want to experience joy, well then, engage with God. One thing we're not supposed to do is, says, don't grumble against each other. And don't grumble because you're tired or someone took your parking spot. Don't grumble about that stuff. That's one way to squelch joy. Macrothumia, big patience. Focusing on God and God's work in our lives around the world. And if we don't see God at work, how are we then working to right that wrong, to heal that hurt, to reconcile the broken relationship? We have work to do. And in the same way, we wait, we anticipate, and we believe in the God who brings reversal. That which was desolate and void has become a place of rejoicing. May it be so for us. May it be so for you as families and individuals. And let's share the good news as we experience God at work, as that dear one shared through an email this morning.